I realize whenever I do these solo, I don't actually really listen to Brent when he does this bit. So, Brent, apologies if I miss anything.
It's time to drop the puck on the sports trivia face-off.
Hello and welcome. You have downloaded another great episode of the Sports Trivia Face-Off. This is Season 2, Episode 48. My name's Aaron. I am here without Brent today. He has finally come down from the high of the Blues winning the Stanley Cup, and hoo boy, it is ugly. So he is off this morning. But I am joined instead by two lovely folks. We have Josh Wood and Stephen Homer joining us today. Steve, this is your first time on the show. Why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Steve Homer. I'm in Olathe, Kansas, and I am a government drone originally from the Bronx.
All right. And Josh, you've been here before, but remind us who you are.
Yeah, I'm a marketing guy, former journalist in Wichita, Kansas, original Six franchise. And I don't know, my loyalties are all Detroit teams because that's where I grew up, and also the Kansas teams. So.
All right. So we got an all-Kansas spectacular today. Before we jump into this game, let's hear how it's played.
Here are the rules for the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Each player will get a chance to answer five questions in a category they choose. If they answer correctly, they get 10 points. If not, their opponent can answer on the rebound for 5 points. Twice per game, a player may challenge his opponent to answer a question first for 10 points, but the opponent can answer correctly for 15 points. Two intermission questions are worth up to 20 points, and we will explain the shootout once we get there.
All right, so in the first period, we're going to flip a coin to see who picks first. Steve, it's your first time on the show, so you want to have heads or tails?
Let's do tails, which sometimes fails, but hopefully won't.
All right. Hey, Alexa, flip a coin.
Flipping. It's heads.
Fortunately, tails failed. That means, Josh, you get to choose whether to pass or play the following categories. Category one. This category is 100% about college football. Category two, amateur hour. Or category three, the boxer. Would you like to play or pass?
I'll play. I was going to try to get rid of what I thought was the oldest category, but I absolutely don't want to do the boxer. So I'm going to do amateur hour and hope for the best.
All right. These are five questions about amateur athletes. Question number one. In 1983, 30 years after his death, the International Olympic Committee restored what man's medals, which they had initially stripped away because he got paid to play 2 years of semi-pro baseball and therefore was not an amateur competitor when he won those medals?
Jim Thorpe.
Jim Thorpe is correct for 10 points. Number two. The amateur era of tennis lasted until 1968 when the Grand Slam tournament started to allow professional players to compete as well. What is the name given to this new era of tennis that is still going today?
I think it's the Open Era.
I think that is correct. Nice job. Number three. Money privately donated to amateur athletes is referred to as boot money. This act of more or less tipping the athletes got his start in what sport?
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and challenge.
Ooh, all right. Steve, you've been challenged. What do you think?
Oh, well, that sounds like a good challenge because I really don't have a clue either. I'm going to take a wild guess and say baseball.
Baseball is incorrect. We're looking for soccer.
Yeah, that was kind of the way I would have leaned, but I wasn't pretty strong on that one.
All right. A good challenge. Josh keeps his 10 points. This began in 1880 when English football banned professionalism. Question number four, going back to Josh. High school athletes are amateur athletes. What high school, named after an early U.S. president, famously broke hearts in 1994 when they defeated a massive underdog comeback by rival school Plano East in the Texas playoffs?
Oh, boy, that's an awesome YouTube clip. So president, Oh, it's one of those southern ones. I think it's John Tyler.
It is John Tyler High School. The school scored 7 touchdowns in the final 4.5 minutes, with the Plano East finally taking the lead, only for John Tyler High School to return the ensuing kickoff for a touchdown. The moment won Best Showstopper ESPY, and the game has since been called the greatest game of high school football ever played.
The announcers really, they might have died during that comeback.
That's cool. I don't know that I'd heard of that. All right, and number 5. Arguably the greatest amateur golfer in history, what man co-founded the Masters and won the U.S. Open, British Open, U.S. Amateur Open, and British Amateur Open titles all in 1930?
Bobby Jones.
Bobby Jones is correct for 10 more points. All right. You've got that historical golf knowledge in there. Okay. Steve, it is to you. You can choose from: this category is 100% about college football or the boxer.
Well, I'm not as knowledgeable as I should be on college football, so let's try the boxer just to get rid of it.
All right. Future
Good
contestants
man.
Will thank you. Yeah. Number 1. What 3-word phrase is typically used when comparing boxers of different weight classes, especially since they cannot fairly fight each other themselves?
Pound for pound?
Pound for pound is correct. 10 points. All right. Most publications have lightweight champion Vasyl Lomachenko of the Ukraine as the best current pound-for-pound boxer, which is I like stats like that. They're just kind of like, we're trying to make this even. We don't really know how. Number 2. What is a term for the person in a boxer's corner whose job it is to tend to the wounds a boxer receives in the ring?
Ooh. Is it the cut man?
It is the cut man. For 10 more points. Nice job. Number 3. Dementia pugilistica was the term used in the 1920s for what we now know today as what? And I can spell that for you if that's helpful.
I don't think I need the spelling. Would it be CTE?
It would be CTE. Chronic traumatic encephalopathy, also known as punch drunk syndrome. It has been in the news a whole lot lately because it turns out most professional athletes have it and no one is willing to talk about it.
I'm glad I only needed the initials.
Yeah, I'm staring at it and I still couldn't pronounce it right.
Right.
Number 4. After a 3-year retirement, what man came back to upset and defeat the marvelous Marvin Hagler in 1987 at Caesar's Palace in a still contested to this day split decision?
I'm not sure, but was it Michael Spinks?
It was not. Josh, what do you think?
I'm going between 2 folks. I know he fought Hearns, and I know he fought Sugar Ray Leonard. I go with Sugar Ray Leonard.
And Sugar Ray Leonard is correct for the 5-point rebound.
Good work.
Nice job. In exchange for Hagler receiving a larger part of the purse, Leonard was able to change aspects of the fight to help his own strategy, including getting the ring extended to 22 by 22 feet, fighting with 10-ounce gloves, and to have the match go only 12 rounds instead of 15. These are all things Ryan knows that I didn't know because I don't know much about boxing at all. Yeah. I just think in the Olympics a couple years ago, a bunch of refs got dinged for cheating, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty much any Olympic boxing right there.
Yeah. Cool. And as I'm saying that, I'm like, ooh, I really hope that's not the next question. It's not. Number 5. While the WBC has given Deontay Wilder the title, most boxing organizations currently have what man as the current heavyweight world champion? This is back to Steve.
Don't have much of a guess. I'll say Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali is incorrect. Josh, do you have a guess?
I'm going to go with my namesake and go with Joshua.
Joshua is also incorrect. It was Andy Ruiz Jr. He earned the title when he TKO'd Anthony Joshua.
Oh, there you go.
You were in the right area. You just wrong side of the ring. Yeah. All right. That brings us to the first intermission. How do you guys feel about Formula One?
That's it's the category. Yeah.
I prefer right. Formula 2.
Right.
Well, unfortunately, I'm going to give you a Formula One driver, and you're going to name the country for which they raced. Okay. So we have Mario Andretti from 1968 to 1982. Mario Andretti, 1968 to 1982. Number two, Sebastian Vettel, V-E-T-T-E-L, 2007 to the present. Number three, Ayrton Senna, 1984 to 1994. And number four, Charles Leclerc, L-E-C-L-E-R-C, 2018 to the present. And this is where the spreadsheet tells me to segue to message, so that's what I'm doing right now.
If you have a question or category suggestion, or you'd like to appear on the Sports Trivia Faceoff, always feel free to send an email to brent@sportstriviafaceoff.com or join the Sports Trivia Faceoff group on Facebook.
We are back with some countries. Right, we're going to start with Mario Andretti. Josh, what did you say?
Pretty sure he's American.
And Steve?
Unfortunately, I said Italy.
He is American. Is, was? Is he dead? I don't know.
I think he's still alive. I don't know. That's a good question.
Speaking of CTE, Orange Cat just cracked his head on my coffee table.
Oh.
He's got the zoomies today. All right.
Rugs.
Number two.
Get him in the protocol.
Put him in the dark room, yeah.
Yeah.
You okay there, buddy? Number two. Sebastian Vettel, 2007 to present. Steve, what did you say?
I said Germany.
All right. And Josh?
Yeah, that's probably a better guess. I said Netherlands.
It is a better guess. Germany is correct.
Good job.
Number three, Ayrton Senna. Josh.
Brazil.
And Steve.
I said South Africa.
He was from Brazil. And Charles Leclerc. Steve.
I said Belgium.
And Josh.
I went with France, but Belgium sounds good too.
Well, neither of them sound quite as good as Monaco, which is where he's from.
There you go.
That little place, yeah. But that's okay. No, going into the second round, Josh has 65, Steve has 35. It is a tight game. Steve, you can pick first from the following categories. American Girl, Mary Jane's Last Dance, or Dozen.
Hmm.
Good luck.
Let's try Mary Jane's Last Dance, although I'm worried about what it might be.
These are five questions about athletes that grew up in an Indiana town.
I was completely wrong.
What did you think it was going to be?
Something marijuana bust related.
I thought so too.
I thought it was going to be Jordan, but so.
Oh. Well, we're going to find out together what's in these questions. Number one. Born in Terre Haute, Indiana in 1943, what journeyman Major League Baseball pitcher was a four-time All-Star with the White Sox, Dodgers, and Yankees, but is best remembered for the revolutionary medical mark he left on the game?
That'd be Tommy John.
It would be Tommy John. For 10 points. Number two. Born in West Baden Springs, Indiana, Larry Bird is remembered as an all-time great basketball player, but he also found success as an NBA coach as well. What coach defeated Bird's squad the one time Larry Bird found himself in the NBA Finals as a coach?
I'll try Larry Brown.
Larry Brown is incorrect. Josh, do you have a guess?
Phil Jackson.
Phil Jackson's correct for 5 points.
Blanking on those Lakers teams there for a second.
Lakers beat the Pacers 4-2 in the 2000 Finals. Oh, well. Number three. Born in Santa Claus, Indiana, Jay Cutler only ever led the league in two different stats. In 2010, he was sacked 52 times. In 2009-2014, he led the league in what other statistic with 26 and 18, respectively?
Was it interceptions?
It was interceptions. Those are bad stats to be good at.
He was also an early leader in memes, too, with smoking.
That's true. And I mean, I feel like in today's society, memes have a lot more currency than completions.
That's right.
Born in Columbus is number four. Born in Columbus, Indiana. What bad-tempered NASCAR driver is the only person to have won the Cup Series under three different sponsors? He won the Winston Cup in 2002, the Nextel Cup in 2005, and the Sprint Cup in 2011.
Oh, why am I blanking on his name? Tony Stewart.
Tony Stewart's correct. 10 more points. And number five. Born in Fort Wayne, Indiana, what longtime U.S. men's national team left winger and left back was the first American to play in five different qualifying cycles for the FIFA World Cup, playing internationally from 2001 to 2017?
I'm going to challenge.
All right, Josh, you've been challenged. Don't look too excited.
Yeah. I don't know if he'd be this old, and I certainly have no idea whether he's from Indiana, but I'll go with Clint Dempsey.
Clint Dempsey's incorrect. There's a cat on the screen, which is exciting. the correct answer is DeMarcus Beasley.
Sorry, DeMarcus. So
Josh, it's back to you. You can choose from American Girl or Dozen.
Well, Dozen seems like a leftover, so I'll take that one.
All right. These are five questions about Pac-12 sports.
Okay.
Number one, what is the only Pac-12 school that does not compete in baseball?
I think it's Colorado because I don't think they had a baseball team when they were in the Big 12.
It is Colorado. They dropped their team in 1980. Number two, what is the most recent Pac-12 school to win a men's national basketball title?
Okay, I was about to fall in a UCLA trap, but it's been more recent than that. I gotta make sure there's no one since 97. I'll go with Arizona.
Arizona is correct. And in the process of reasoning that out, you took all the thunder out of my flavor text. I'm going to read it anyway. They did so in 1997. The conference has the most national titles of any conference with 16. 11 of them are UCLA, back when UCLA was screaming good. Number three, nice pull. Good job with that. I don't know anything about college sports, so that's always really impressive when people can do that. Number three, in 2015, in honor of the conference's 100th anniversary, who was named starting quarterback of the Pac-12 All-Century team?
Probably a Stanford quarterback. Yeah, okay. It's got to be Elway.
It does got to be Elway. Good job. We're 10 more points. Other quarterbacks listed were Marcus Mariota, Jim Plunkett, Andrew Luck, and Matt Leinart. Matt Leinart.
Oh, yeah, those guys all won Heisman, so they would have been good, too.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Well, not luck, but yeah.
Yeah, they're not so bad. Number four. Randall Johnson, a graduate of Pullman High School, designed what Pac-12 school's logo in 1936?
I assume it's Washington State, and that's cool that it was done by a student then.
Yep, it is Washington State. WSU is located in Pullman, Washington. You are all over the 1930s sports trivia today.
Old-timey sports. Coming at you.
And number five. The Pac-12 was once known as the AAWU, which is a pain in the ass to say. It is the Athletic Association of what kind of universities? In other words, what does the W in AAWU stand for?
Western? Question mark?
Western exclamation point is correct for 10 more points and a sweep of the category. That brings us to the second intermission. We got, normally I do look these over. I just didn't today. So second intermission, please name the so-called Big Six. These are the six countries that have historically dominated men's ice hockey. I will accept either current or past names if relevant for the answers. And while they are thinking about international ice hockey, which I think about all of the time, you guys can listen to this promo.
You know, we have a new promo sitting us right in the face that we need more money so that Brent can buy more Stanley Cup swag.
Yep, sure do. I think that's our promo. Just plug that in somewhere. Done.
Cool.
And we're back. Ice hockey. Josh, what countries did you write down?
Well, I felt like four of them were relatively gettable. The other two I kind of took a flyer on. So let's go with U.S., even though we haven't won since 1980. Canada, Russia, Sweden, Czech Republic, and Finland.
All right. And Steve, what did you
say? I said USSR/Russia, Finland, Sweden, Norway, Canada, and Czech Republic.
The answers are Canada, the United States, the Soviet Union or Russia, Finland, Sweden, and the Czech Republic or Czechoslovakia. So Josh picks up 22 points. Steve picks up 21 points. Good work. Fun fact, speaking of Russia, it was announced this week. I'm sure everyone in the podcast land knows this, but Russia once again has been dinged for doping and will not be able to compete as Russia at the Olympics for the next two Olympics. I read a stat somewhere that, like, of all of the medals Russia's won, or like athletes from Russia have won in Olympic hockey, only like two of them have been as Russia, because they were the USSR and then they were something else and then they were Russia and then they've been banned for the last couple of years. So
yeah, they were the unified team in 92.
That's the one. Mm-hmm. Yep. They just can't put the drugs down. Well, they can't stop getting caught. I feel like everyone, yeah. Anyway.
Who knows why that syringe just ended up in my ass?
It's a common problem. You drink enough vodka and anything can happen.
Exactly. I think we saw that with Koozie over the Stanley Cup.
All right. Going into the third period, Josh has 142. Steve has 86. It is still anyone's game. Steve, you can pick first from the following categories. Number one, jazz. Number two, the jazz. Or number three, on air.
Let's try jazz.
All right, this is five questions about sports in Kansas City or New Orleans.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, now I can embarrass myself because I'm not really a native. But just like I do at local trivia.
Right, as long as you don't use Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce, the official barbecue of the Royals, you're good. That's a terrible product.
I've never heard of this. Sounds like it's a whole thing, though.
It really is, and they sell out to a national company. Anyway, you're right. It's a whole thing.
All right. If you still have feelings, we can talk about it. Are you good?
No, I'm good, yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's make a
joke. I'll work through it.
Cool. Number one. From 2001 to 2008, who was the primary running back for the New Orleans Saints?
Was it Mark Ingram?
It was not. It's the Josh.
That's right. Too long ago. Sorry.
Don't apologize.
Trying to think if this would have been, if he still would have been there. Ricky Williams?
Nope. We're looking for Deuce McAllister.
Oh, yeah, right. That guy.
Yep. He had to start sharing the backfield with Reggie Bush in 2007. Number two. Although he would notably pitch a perfect game for the Yankees by the end of the decade, who won the 1994 AL Cy Young Award with the Royals?
Was it David Cone?
It was David Cone for 10 points.
Nice.
He was born in Kansas City in 1963. Number three.
Happy purring or something going on there.
That's a snoring dog.
Nice. Even better.
The first time I heard him, like, is that someone's stomach grumbling? No. Someone.
No, I mentioned barbecue, and now I'm just on it. So.
It's quite a snore. Orange Cat sniffing the microphone, so if you hear some weird stuff, that's what's happening over here. It's an all-pet podcast today. Number three. In 1978 at the Superdome, Muhammad Ali ended up winning by unanimous decision in 15 rounds against what man who shockingly defeated Ali earlier that year by split decision? Surprise, it's another boxing question.
Was that one Frazier?
It was not. Josh?
I think this might be the time for Spinks. I'll go with that.
It is. It is the time for Spinks. Spinks' WBC title was stripped when he failed to face number one ranked contender Ken Norton. Spinks opted for an Ali rematch instead. I think that's the last boxing question in this game. Yeah, we'll see.
Yay.
Number four. What man very, very briefly held the NFL record for most yards caught by a tight end in a single season, only for the 49ers' George Kittle to break the record no more than an hour later?
Oh, that was Travis Kelce.
It was Travis Kelce for 10 points. Thank you, Ryan, for providing the pronunciation guide, because I was going to f*** that up. And number five, the Kansas City Command, formerly the Brigade, the New Orleans Knight, and New Orleans Voodoo are all teams that played in what league?
Was it the Negro League?
It was not. Josh?
I think it's the Arena Football League. God rest its soul.
That is correct. It is the Arena Football League. So, Josh, it's your turn to choose from the Jazz or On Air.
Well, I'll go ahead and take the Jazz so it's not by itself in a later day and feel bad for itself.
Okay. These are – that's always so weird when you've got a question that clearly has nothing to do with it. Yeah. It's clearly from a holdover. All right, these are five more questions about the NBA's Jazz since Mark Eden will haunt you forever. A-plus callback, my
nice.
Friend.
Nice, yes.
Number one. What Notre Dame alum of the 70s was the star player for the Jazz during the early to mid-80s and took over as the Nuggets interim head coach in 2010 during George Karl's cancer diagnosis?
You know, I think I'm going to challenge.
All right. Steve, you've been challenged. Do you need to hear the question again?
Yes, please.
All right. What Notre Dame alum of the 70s was the star player for the Jazz during the early to mid-80s and took over as the Nuggets interim head coach in 2010 during George Karl's cancer diagnosis?
Since I don't know, I'll say Stockton.
Stockton is incorrect. Josh retains his 10 points. If I can make the spreadsheet work. Yep. The correct answer was Adrian Dantley. Number two, in reference to his initials and jersey number, what 2000s Jazz mainstay was nicknamed AK-47?
That's one of the best nicknames in sports. Kirilenko.
Kirilenko is correct. Thank you for saying it, so I did not have to. Number three, what is the – I wish I could sleep that hard. Like, if I snore awesome. Like that, I'd wake yeah. myself up.
Well, my wife feels like I do that, so.
Number three, what is the animalistic nickname of current Jazz star Donovan Mitchell?
Well, I don't really know that. I don't know. I'll go say bear.
Bear is incorrect. Steve?
Oh, he took my guess. Oh, how about the cat?
Cat is also incorrect. They call him Spida. I don't know why, because Ryan
is not a good
question. Do you know?
No, I've never heard of it. So.
All right. I guess maybe he's got eight legs or long legs and arms, or I don't know.
Shoots webs at other players.
Right, exactly.
Do you guys listen to Welcome to Night Vale?
No.
This is a huge thing. So it's a fiction podcast. It's like if Tales from Lake Wobegon from Prairie Home Companion was set in the Twilight Zone. And it's really great writing. It's really good voice acting. And that's the kind of thing they would do is like, they talk about super weird stuff like it's normal. So I feel like they'd have this whole bit where, you know, Spida was shooting webs at people and got, you know, a foul for sticking someone to the wall.
Seems like it would anyway. Be a foul. So, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
The official would probably miss it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Yeah. It's a great show if you're into that sort of fiction podcast thing. All right, back to sports. Number four. From 1988 to 2011, who was the head coach of the Jazz?
Jerry Sloan.
Jerry Sloan is correct. Sloan was himself a two-time NBA All-Star with the Bulls in the 60s and was the fourth overall pick in the 1965 draft out of the University of Evansville.
Wow.
And number five. The Jazz fans on hand for the 1984 draft audibly booed their team's first-round selection. Who was the 16th overall pick?
You know, there was someone just posted, I think it was Ryan, just posted a great clip of this guy clocking Isaiah Thomas with the elbow. So it's Karl Malone.
It is not Karl Malone.
And Steve? Forget that I said that. So.
Steve, did you guess?
Oh, sure. I can guess Stockton again.
Yeah,
you
that
can.
Was it.
And in this case, that will be correct.
Okay.
Yep.
I knew it all along.
All right. That brings us to the shootout. Oh, wow. We're cruising. You guys are very efficient. When Brent's not here, there's a lot less around, I think. all right. Scores are pretty tight. Steve has 111. Josh has 182. It is still either of y'all's game because of the way the shootout works. Let's find out how the shootout works. Hey, look, Brent, I remembered to lead into the That's
action. In the shootout, both players take a shot at being the closest to the correct answer of three questions. If either player is closer on more questions than the other, they get 20 points. If a player is closer on all three questions, they get 50 points. If a player is within 10% of the correct answer on all three questions, they are awarded an extra 100-point hat trick bonus.
Question number one. Ouch, Ryan. Ouch. Number one, the number of games the New York Rangers won last season. That is the 18-19 season. Number two, the number of assists Russell Westbrook dished out last season. He was the league leader. And number three, the number of times Monica Seles made the finals of a Grand Slam tournament. Those are some numbers. They're going to do some numbers, and you are going to do a listen to whatever Brent plugs into this space.
Just a quick reminder to support us at patreon.com/sportstriviafaceoff so we can continue to offer great sports trivia.
You should definitely donate money because it helps us with things. I'm bad at this.
You're right. You are. Yeah. Sorry.
We're back with some numbers. Number one, how many games do you think the New York Rangers won last season, Josh?
I said 26. I know they had the second pick, so couldn't have been too high.
And Steve?
I said 29.
All right, both of you undershot by a little. The correct answer was 32. Perfectly respectable wins.
Exactly.
Last year was abysmal. Steve was off by 3. Josh is off by 6. So Steve has got 1 in the bank. Number 2, the number of assists Russell Westbrook dished out last season. He was the league leader. Josh, what'd you say?
I said, well, I kind of figured he was a little bit over, you know, close to 11 a game, and he probably didn't play all 82 games. So I said 894.
And Steve?
I was much more wildly optimistic and said 1250.
Right. That was pretty optimistic. Correct answer was 784. Ooh. Josh is off by 110. Steve was off by 466. So it's all tied up at 1-2-1. Bringing us to number 3. Number of times Monica Seles made the finals of a Grand Slam tournament? Steve, we'll start with you. What'd you say?
I said 20.
And Josh, what did you say?
I said 17. Kind of the, I mean, she obviously was really good as a singles player, had a long interruption in her career. I wasn't quite sure how many times she had gotten in there as like a doubles or mixed doubles or something.
All right, and the answer is she competed in 13 Grand Slam finals. They were all singles. She didn't qualify for any doubles finals, according to Wikipedia. I just double-checked. Which means with 17, Josh was off by 4, Steve was off by 7, which means Josh has picked up 2 wins in the shootout for 20 extra points. Steve had a – started out strong, but lost some ground at the end there. Final scores. Josh picked up 20 points for the shootout win. He finished with 202. Steve finished with 111. Both of those are respectable scores. You guys knew some great stuff. And I think the categories might have been, as usual, the downfall in this case.
They always are. Blame Ryan.
Good game, Josh.
Yeah, very good game.
Yeah, you guys were fun. Anything you guys want to say before we go? Josh, we'll start with you.
I'll make my unsolicited pledge or request for people to support you on Patreon, and it's a great podcast, and for the price of a cup of coffee you can listen to quality entertainment every week.
Thank you. Saves me the trouble of doing that. Steve, anything you want to say?
Oh, I don't have much beyond that. Spay and neuter your pets. I guess I'm qualified for that given all the snoring you've heard.
Thank you, Bob Barker. And I will say this episode is going to drop a couple days before Christmas. Whether you celebrate Christmas or not, I hope all of you out there in listenerland have a safe and happy holiday season. This, like Josh said, the show wouldn't exist without the support of all you guys. So thank you so much. Even if you just downloaded and are listening to my voice, you have helped make this something that we get to keep doing every week. So thanks to Josh. Thanks to Steve. Shout out for Brent, who I'm assuming will be recovered and back next week. My name's Aaron, and this has been the Sports Trivia Faceoff. See you next week.
This has been the Sports Trivia Faceoff. Thank you very much for listening. The Sports Trivia Faceoff is hosted by Brent Bollmeyer and Aaron Barkley. Questions are written by Ryan Clefcorn Myers. And the Sports Trivia Faceoff is recorded, edited, and produced by Brent Bollmeyer.
good challenge, Josh keeps his 10 points. This began in 1880 when English football banned professionalism. I have to sneeze. Nope. Damn. All right. I'm going to sneeze in like, oh, no.
3, 2, 1.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you. It is allergy season and cold season. And it's going to be that kind of day. Number 4. After a 3-year retirement, what man came back to upset and defeat the marvelous Marvin? It was going to happen eventually.
It's a good show, though. Marvelous Marvin.
It's the not safe work sequel to the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.